What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/sbfvgs. Welcome to Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 34. You're listening to the number one video game podcast on the internet that features my best friends. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Redding. Joining me is Mike, the Master Builder, Lopez.
That'll be explained later.
And David.
That makes some sense.
And David, fourth time's a charm, Tate.
Oh, no.
Wait, what? Oh, I know. I know what you're talking about.
Because you saw Star Wars four times. And also joining us tonight, OG super best friend, Eric, got to go to PSX, Kruger.
Hola.
How's it going, man?
Doing well.
Thanks for joining us. This is going to be a good time. Yeah.
And thank you for that wonderful introduction, Adam 2016 guy, Redding.
Hey, solid.
Eric reminded me right before the show that I I usually do a nickname for you, and it occurred to me in that moment that I hadn't thought of a nickname for you yet.
Here's the thing, David. You ad-libbed it every time you've done it.
Not every time.
Every time you've done it, you ad-libbed and you crushed it. Yeah. Don't apologize for anything.
Okay, yeah. Every time I've crushed it.
You crushed it.
All right. Well, I mean, you say you're never wrong, but in this case, you're a little bit wrong, but that's okay.
All right. The Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover podcast comes to you every fortnight with each of us coming to the table with one burning topic from the world of gaming. But first, what are you gents playing?
Let's let our friend go first.
Yes.
Is that me? I'm the friend?
Yeah, you're a friend.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I had a little bit of time off around the holidays, a little bit. So I get to play catch up because I've been behind so much. So I finally beat Wolfenstein. I beat New Blood, also the expansion.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what did you think of that? I almost bought it.
So I really enjoyed it, but my attention span has gotten so much shorter that while I was playing through Wolfenstein, I was like, this is really fun. It's like blowing my mind how good it is. And then I got to the three quarters through and I'm like, okay, let's just wrap this up a little bit. Let's get it over with. But it was really fun. And I went straight from playing through the full game to playing through the expansion too. And I really enjoyed that also. It was definitely fun all the way through.
Yeah. Wasn't it $5 or something like that?
Yeah. I got
it on the sale.
Yeah, I got it at that Black Friday sale, and that's what inspired me to go. I bought the DLC, and I was like, oh, I got to beat the full game first, I guess. So I went to that. And then, there were so many locations and different things that happened in the game that I didn't expect. It was like, oh, this game is really fun. I'm like, oh, now we're doing this, and then now we're going to the moon. And then
Yeah, it's cool that it tells a really good story at the same time as it's not taking itself very seriously.
Yeah. And even to the main character, he was just kind of the Jughead war guy, but he was still he still had emotion, so relatable, you know, he was dealing. Yeah. I thought that was really well done.
I feel like that game really dances that line of showing real personalities that you would see in wartime, how the effects would happen to normal people. And then on a dime, switching to a straight up Die Hard movie.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I love that game.
Like one man invading into a nuclear sub through a missile and then taking over the whole sub.
Yeah. It's so good.
He's like, it's just one man.
And that prison scene. The whole concentration camp is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still need to play that game. It's definitely on my list of games on my it's on my backlog of shame right now. So
yeah.
Any other games, Eric?
Oh, I also played through the first Tomb Raider, not the first, but the first remake Tomb Raider.
Yeah, that's a good game too.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I played.
Was that your first time playing it, or
I had started it and gotten about an hour in, and then just hadn't played it, so I started it all over again and just played all the way through, and I really enjoyed it. I love this. I think the story was kind of garbage. But
I don't even really remember what happened.
I think the old Tomb Raider did it too, where they kind of start mixing in some mystical stuff into it, you know, but towards the end, there was just the evil spirit, or not spoilers, but you know, it's magical towards the end. The magical things happen and stuff. And
yeah,
you didn't like the magic, huh?
You know, you didn't get to use the magic. I'm still using my bow against magic.
Oh, I see. See, I kind of liked that because I don't want to spoil anything, but Uncharted kind of, let's say Uncharted toys with the idea of mysticism too from time to time.
It dips its toe in several times, I think.
Yeah, yes. And I always kind of wanted them to go further with it, like most of the time. So I actually was like, it was fun playing an Uncharted game where they just went full on into mysticism and stuff. Yeah. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm with you, Eric. I think it's a little much in that game, but it's a good time. I like it.
Yeah. Well, just like having the whole, the army that had been magically sitting around forever, or were they, I don't know. It was fun to play.
I
for
think
sure.
They were magical.
Yeah. Like bunch of witch magic.
Yeah.
Yes, me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It was like samurai magic or something.
Witch magic.
Yes. And the last thing I just recently beat, I just played through Undertale in the last couple days. I had heard about
it. I've heard that game's really
good. I saw
good.
It was on the Game of the Year list and I hadn't played it at all. And I love Earthbound and I hear it was Earthbound-esque. And it's one of those games that you play through
just
it and you're
like it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is really clever. The dialogue's really funny. It's like fun to read the actual things people are saying instead of just skipping through it. Mm-hmm. And then as it goes on, though, it gets more and more like to the point where it makes you kind of question your whole reality and, you know, looking at yourself. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty deep.
Huh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you know? I want to play it, but I also kind of don't want to play it because I'm worried that it's been too hyped up for me now. Same thing that happened to Mad Max for me, like the movie. Everyone was like, oh my goodness, it's this generation Star Wars. It's the best movie ever. And then I went to saw it and I was like, oh yeah, that was pretty fun action scenes. But like,
yeah.
I
would
I don't
say
really care
Undertale,
about any of these characters or anything. But
it got like a lot of, it was like really hyped up. I remember like had like tons of memes and stuff, but I avoided all of it. Didn't really see any of that stuff. But when I started playing, I just went in thinking it would be kind of like a like an Earthbound style thing, and it kind of was, but it also kind of plays against the idea that you think it's going to be Earthbound too by asking you questions you think are going to mean something later, like Earthbound would, and
really?
Then it does nothing with them. So it's like it like asks you like what your favorite flavor is, and then immediately it just like doesn't use it at all. It's like, oh, well, I'm using this other flavor anyway.
That's awesome.
But then like towards the end, it starts doing things where it makes you quit like think about how you played the game throughout it too and stuff, and it's that's really cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. There's one moment that's still like chilling. Like one character says his line to you, and I won't spoil any of it if you actually want to play it. But when he said that thing, I was like, whoa. And it just made me realize, yeah, I didn't even think about that when I was playing through because I'm just playing an RPG.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking about
my
consequences of what I was doing.
That's kind really of cool. Like, it reminds me a little bit of the BioShock thing where you don't realize, I don't want to. I mean, it's an old game, but I don't want to spoil it. It's like,
would you
toward the end of the game, they like reveal something that's been happening to you the whole time and you didn't even like realize it.
Yeah.
And yeah. So anyway, that's pretty cool.
Good are stuff. What about you, Mike? What are you playing?
Well, first I'm going to apologize. I'm doing my best. I'm really sick right now. So I'm going to do my best not to like hack and cough of everyone's ear right now. So we were out for the holidays for a bit. And I definitely took that time to make some check marks. I played through Wolfenstein as well, and I got the platinum for that. So I was pretty excited to get that one knocked out.
Nice.
I went back to Shadow of Mordor and platinumed that one.
Mordor.
Yes. And I haven't played all the DLC for that, so there's still things for me to go back and do. But the platinum is checked off the list. I played Game of Thrones, the Telltale game with the wife. And we beat that. And the exciting thing is it's one of those games from Telltale that just for beating it, you get a platinum. So that's nice.
Oh,
nice.
That's nice. Oh,
yeah. That might be my second platinum.
I have that.
It's fun. I liked it. I played Bastion on the Vita and I beat that. And that was really good. I really enjoyed Bastion.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah. If you play Transistor, you like that. Like this is kind of it. Obviously, informed Transistor. You can get an idea of where they got a lot of those ideas from this game. So yeah.
I came from the other way. I liked Bastion, so I played Transistor.
Yeah, which was the proper, like, that's the proper way, because
that's
the
order
they came out in.
I guess that's chronological. Maybe
chronological.
We shouldn't be.
Yeah. So I beat Bastion, really liked it. I'll eventually go back and get that platinum as well, and then I started Fallout 4.
Oh,
a lot,
man.
A lot of gaming in.
This guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
that guy.
I did a little gaming. A little bit. I've been basically trying to finish off Broken Age. Because I kind of took a long sabbatical from it. I realized, you know what? I need to finish that. I kind of accidentally, even though I had the whole game, I accidentally played it the way they released it, where I played the first half and then waited a really long time. And so at least that's kind of how it was released. And so it doesn't really take away from the experience. So yeah, really liking that one a lot. And then I went up and visited the in-laws and played some of their arcade games. Played a bunch of Ms. Pac-Man, the hacked super speedy version.
Oh, yeah. My.
Which is really fun.
I've never heard of that.
All the ghosts move the same speed that you're used to, but Pac-Man is just cooking. He's like going super fast.
Is that kind of cheating then?
Yeah, Ms. Pac-Man. Oh, it's totally cheating, but you can get so far and it's fun. And then I played some Dig Dug 2. Have you guys ever played Dig Dug 2?
Well, I haven't played 2, but I loved Dig Dug 1 back in the day.
Okay. Yeah, Dig Dug 2 is way different than Dig Dug, the original. And it's got this cool mechanic where, I don't know, this is old news for the retro gaming crowd, but it's got this cool mechanic where you're on these islands and basically you can use your little drill and sever off parts of the island and you could drop like 10 enemies into the water. And it's really cool. So, yeah, I recommend it. This new hot game called Dig Dug 2, you guys.
I mean, you can always emulate it. MAME is a really good arcade emulator that plays it like emulates almost every arcade board that has ever existed. So if that piques your interest, you can go check that out. Is that all but your games?
Yeah, that was it for me. I got some games for Christmas, but I didn't play them yet.
Yeah. Oh man.
I got Metal Gear Solid 5.
Hell yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yes.
And I got
what do you
call it?
Video game.
Until Dawn.
Did you say video game?
Video game.
Ooh,
the game.
Trying to play that one, yeah.
Yeah, so I got Until Dawn, also Sunset Overdrive, and Ori and the Blind Forest.
Wow.
So, wow, yeah. Man, Santa was good to you.
Yeah, so, and I was encouraged listening to the recent PS I Love You. Colin was talking all about his backlog and just not letting it bog you down, not let it become a chore. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm just going to play what I want to play.
That's right.
I'm kind of going to do both, meticulously go through it and also brush stuff off that I'm not loving to kind of like catch up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I told Mike about my secret plan. I'm going to be playing a new game and then an old game, new game, old game. And so I'll alternate so I can kind of chip away at the PS3 stuff I still have. You know, some of the classics that I have on Vita that I want to play and stuff. So
do you have Metal Gear Solid on Xbox or PlayStation?
Metal Gear Solid 5 on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Video game entertainment console.
So I think that's the full title.
I also pretty have sure that right. In my pile, like wrapped in saran wrap still. And I'm not letting myself open it until I actually finish Ground Zeroes. And I don't know if I am punishing myself by doing that, but I really want to be able to go into it with all of the unlocks. And I feel like that's going to take me a very long time. So it's a daunting task.
Yeah, see, I've talked about it on the show a little bit before, but I still have not played Peace Walker. And so I have Peace Walker HD edition that came to the PS3. So I'm gonna play that and then I'll play Ground Zeroes, then I'll get to MGS5.
All right, so you're still a little behind me there.
I'm way behind, yeah, but because I played all the other Metal Gears, well, except for the NES ones, so I feel honor bound to finish these ones.
Yes,
nice.
So, what about you, David?
Okay, well, so I haven't been playing a whole lot because I was just on break and I was with family and commuting all over the place and stuff. But I did manage to play a little bit more Fallout 4. Actually, I've been playing Fallout on my PC and I worked out this crazy cockamamie scheme where I found a way to trick Steam into thinking that I was playing on my laptop in my apartment, even though I was down in North Carolina. So it was, I was doing Steam in-home streaming from New York to North Carolina.
You trickster.
What was the latency?
It wasn't too bad. I had to basically not do combat though, but I could walk around and talk to people and work on my settlement a little bit. And
that's cool.
Stuff like that. So that was pretty fun. But also Heroes of the Storm runs pretty well on my laptop. So I played some of that too.
Nice. So you didn't end up bringing the console down there with you?
Well, I did bring my Xbox One, And now, again, because I didn't have a TV to play it on, because there's only one HD TV in my parents' house, I brought my laptop and I installed... what did you say?
Philistines. Only one HD TV.
Well, I brought my laptop down. I installed Windows 10 on it because I have a MacBook Pro. I installed Windows 10 and I used the Xbox streaming app to play my Xbox One a little bit, but I didn't play it a whole lot.
That's cool.
But yeah, so I played Battlefront on my Xbox One, even though I bought it on my PS4 because my EA trial hadn't expired yet.
Oh,
so,
that's funny.
Yeah, so that was pretty fun.
That is cool. Yeah, I can't wait for them to enable the PS or the PC streaming for PS4.
Yeah, really they cool. say it's coming, so that's pretty cool.
That's gonna be really cool.
And then finally, also, I have been playing a little bit with a Google Cardboard.
Oh yeah. I got one of those too.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know what this is, it's like a little device that's just made out. It's literally made out of cardboard. It's got two lenses in it, and you stick your phone in there, and you run certain apps that have been designed to use Google Cardboard. And actually, I think it was you, Adam, that tweeted out the link to like Google was giving away a bunch of them for free. So I got a fun little R2-D2 Google Cardboard, and the funnest thing was the roller coasters. Like the first few times I rode a couple of the virtual roller coasters, like I totally felt it. Like the sense of presence on a dumb iPhone like app was really good. And then what was that?
Oh, I was going to say, I would imagine those like rumbly chair things that they had at like Disneyland and stuff would actually be so much more impactful with the VR than it would be like in Captain EO or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did some of that, and like there were a couple games that are designed for Google Cardboard. But the problem with Google Cardboard right now is everything that you can find is basically a proof or like a proof of concept. There's like no fully fleshed out games right now. So I think that it's going to get like really cool in over the next 3 or 4 months or 6 months or 8 months or a year or whatever. I hope people keep up with this Google Cardboard thing, cause it's actually pretty cool. They have a button on it that works by using magnets. Like it moves a magnet around and your phone senses that. And then all the apps that are built for cardboard, like read it as a button press, which is just brilliant. It's really cool. The craziest. It's crazy. So
yeah, I did a bunch of Google Cardboard with my R2-D2 one right before I went and saw The Force Awakens, and did like in the Star Wars app they have a bunch of like
the little Jakku thing, whatever that's called.
The Battle of Jakku.
No, it's not the Battle of Jakku.
Speeder ride thing.
No, it's just you're just hanging out. It's called Jakku Spy.
That's it.
Yeah, and you're hanging out, and BB-8 will roll up and give you like a little spy message, and. And you just kind of get to browse around. And it was funny. I was sitting there in my living room, just like turning around, looking up, and I was like, oh man, like this actually makes me really excited for PSVR, which I still have not tried.
It made me excited for VR in general. And I actually kind of want to lead into the news a little bit with this, if you don't mind.
Oh yeah.
Because Oculus yesterday,
are we leading into?
Yesterday when we recorded this.
Yeah. Wait. What are we leading into, David?
Oculus?
What segment of the show is this?
Oh, no! I totally missed it.
The news? That was a little one. You really went for it.
That was incredulous right there.
The news?
All right, go for it. So... sorry, I missed the cue, guys.
You may continue.
I feel so unprofessional.
And now you may continue.
Thank you.
What are we talking about?
So, Oculus announced the... did they announce the release date? I don't even know that.
It's the pre-orders.
If you pre-order, they'll start shipping in March.
Okay.
That's what they said.
But yeah, so I was like, they announced it that they were going to start doing pre-sales on Wednesday, the 6th of January. And I was like, I was starting to get really excited because I'd been messing around with Google Cardboard. I was like, yeah, VR, man, this is going to be the first one to market. Maybe I should do my duty as a super best friend take one for the team and pre-order it and get it and play. Because my computer can already handle it. I already have a GPU that like supports it. So why not? Wednesday rolls around. I check my browser, or I go to their website. refresh, refresh. It's not there. So website goes down, of course. And then, you know, I get to the pre-order page and I click it. And the price was $600.
Yeah, it was.
That is,
it sure was.
That is so much money.
It's so much money. And you know what's really weird about that price point? I don't know. I feel like last year, like several months ago, we talked about this a little bit. Uh-huh. And like one, I can't remember who did. I one of us.
Oh yeah, one of us.
Like had talked about that possibly being $600.
Mike, can you hear me rolling my eyes right now?
Mm-hmm. Did you? I can't even remember honestly. Did you really predict?
I have to take your word for it, Mike.
No. I think one of us did make a joke that it was going to be $599 like the PS3.
I think you made that joke. I think I was pulling from some articles I had read that said the price might be as high as $599. So, in fairness, I didn't actually predict it, but...
Well, so, in my brain, in my puny little brain that doesn't understand how much things cost, I was like, okay, so it'll probably be like $350, but maybe it'll be $400. And if it's $400, yeah, I might still get it. So, I was thinking that to myself. So, that it was two full $100 more...
Yeah, well, and you can't be blamed for thinking it was going to be around $350 because the Oculus founder guy, Palmer Luckey, had said in an interview that it would release in the ballpark of $350,
yeah,
quote unquote.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was like in October that he said this, so that wasn't very long ago.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, he was also referencing that was the price of the DK2, the dev kit too. Mm-hmm. I think he was trying to like... assuage the rumors of it being $1,500 for the whole kit because they were saying how with a computer and with the Oculus it would be about $1,500.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, like, I think he misspoke when he said like $350, but I think like with the hardware that's in there, I don't think it's terribly unreasonable. I wish I had actually acted sooner to
on that. With the hardware in there, you're right. It is expensive hardware and everything. However, it is still unreasonable.
Yeah, did you see the tweet?
It's a lot of money.
Did you see the tweet from Notch?
No, yeah. I didn't.
He said, I wish I could afford an Oculus Rift. He's like a billionaire.
So anyway, I'm really disappointed. I thought this was going to be the year of VR. We still have a couple more announcements.
It's kind of exciting in a way because not only is it $600 for the Oculus headset, but that doesn't come with their like customized like touch controller.
Oh yeah.
That's so you can later date, coming and later. I don't know how much more that's going to be. Yeah. So that kind of like does a twofold thing for Sony. It kind of puts them in that Xbox One PS4 position where somebody throws their price out and now you can dramatically undercut the competition.
Yeah, that's true.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
There's a whole other one too. There's a whole much other possibility.
As much as I hate to think this is probably what will happen, this gives them the perfect excuse to be like, oh, if you're buying the PlayStation VR set, we no longer have to ship Move controllers in the box with it. You can use the PlayStation controller because our closest competition at the moment, Oculus, is just shipping with an Xbox One controller. They're not even shipping with their motion controllers.
Man, yeah. I hope nobody from Sony, from like PSVR team is listening to this podcast because you just gave them diabolical
stuff.
Here's
the only
way I would be okay with them doing that is if that's what they do to dramatically bring the price down.
Yeah, and I think it's true too. Like, there's probably a lot of like PlayStation users who already have Move, who already have a PSI or the camera or whatever, who don't necessarily want that rolled into the cost of the VR. Like, if they do separate that out, that would make it seem cheaper too. You can say like, and it's only what like $29.99 or
sure. Like, you can have like a more expensive all inclusive package, but yeah, like this is your great excuse to like to really take charge of the market.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm really excited to see what they do with this information.
Just having the user base where it's plug and play, where you just basically plug it in and you have games hooked up. Like, instead of, you know, on a PC, it's a little more daunting. Like, you have to have the right video card, you have to have the right specs, you have to have like the drivers and everything. Yep. For console people, that is more daunting. I like having the PC and I like playing games on it, but I do understand why it's just like makes a lot more sense to being like, oh, you buy the system, plug it in, and it works and it's easy. I imagine it'll probably be more like $400 or maybe $500.
I think that's fair. That's probably what it's going to be. Unless they are crazy.
And I think it's one of those things. I think if you're going to compare them side by side, you're going to find the Oculus one probably does perform better, kind of like pound for pound.
Yeah, but I think it definitely will.
If Sony can undercut them on price and usability, I mean, there's a lot to be said for a device that's just plug and play. Like, if you own a PlayStation, you don't have to worry about drivers or video card or anything else. You plug it in, it's going to work. Yeah. There's a lot to be said for the mainstream consumer when it comes to that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. By the way, there's a whole other dog in this race that we haven't even talked about. The HTC Vive VR headset.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That is also supposed to come out this year at some time. And that one is backed by Valve, and it's going to be like built right into Steam and all that stuff.
That's true.
And supposedly they have some really like
They have like the pass through that was like the concierge system where they actually will show wireframes of the outlines of things in the room, so you can move around without bunching into stuff.
That's really cool.
And it actually has a double sensor, so you put one on each side of the room, so you can turn around completely. And you can interact with things in the room. It sounds like the high-end experience. Like you could have like a VR arcade kind of thing where you go into a room and you actually interact with physical objects and stuff.
Oh.
And that would work that way.
Do you think it's not going to be a consumer thing?
Oh, I think it will be a consumer thing, but it's going to be the high-end consumer one. Like it's the one that if people are developers or marketing games and they're probably going to try to shoot for the PSVR, the Oculus, and the Vive, then the Vive will probably have features that aren't used maybe at that level.
Oh, I see.
You know? Because they're just kind of the lowest common denominator. Like, it can do these amazing things, but they're only going to be available to the most expensive, allegedly or hypothetically, the most expensive VR headset. Then it's not going to be in all of the games.
Right. Yeah.
So the Oculus Rift, to me, the impression I got as soon as I heard the price and started reading up about it was that it's very much that PC master race type device. You know, it's allegedly super high refresh rate and pixel density with OLED displays, you know, so it's like, you know, if you're paying the extra money for that, because I assume it's going to be, you know, a decent amount more expensive than PSVR when it comes out, then yeah, you are, but you know, you're paying more, but you're getting that PC experience, you know, that high end, like Eric's saying about the HTC, you know, you're getting that high end PC VR experience. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I definitely see that appealing to the PC gamer, the hardcore, you know?
Yeah, but I just want to reiterate, I am a PC gamer. I have a computer that already can run an Oculus, which I feel like qualifies me in the PC master race category.
I am sure. Also in there.
Yeah. So, but I'm not going to buy one.
$600 is a lot of money still.
Yeah. It's a lot of money. Yeah.
After reading a lot of the people's responses from trying out the consumer Oculus at the electronic show CES in Vegas, it made me way more excited about it. And I actually went to the site to go pre-order, and now it's out to June until when you can actually get one. So, I'll still wait it out now.
I'm definitely going to wait it out. One last thing about this. I know we've talked about this forever. We're not even
like
halfway through the
There's a whole
the
group of people who's like, I don't care about VR.
Oh, come on. Everyone has to care about VR. It's the future. At least I think
it's
so.
It's the future.
Anyway, in the future.
In the year 2000.
what was I going to say? Okay, so me and my friend Nick Wagner actually has an Oculus Rift DK2, Developer Kit 2. Eric actually got to borrow it for a while, right?
I did. Yes. Yeah. I played around with it.
But he said that he's thinking it might be like an Apple iPhone situation where they're releasing it expensive for the early adopters. And then maybe in a few months, they'll lower the price all of a sudden and more people can afford it and, you know, increase the user base really fast.
Or release a second model that's maybe not quite so fancy.
Yeah.
It's a little cheaper.
Yeah. They might have a plan. Yeah. They may have been expecting this. So, So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
One thing
they still sold out in like, 10 minutes. So, I mean, you can't say it was the wrong call for them.
And there's still pre-orders available now. It's not until you don't get it until later.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The day one pre-orders are gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was interesting too, like looking at one of the teardowns of the DK2, it was actually just the Samsung phone screen that was in the DK2 with the whole bezel from the phone too. It was just basically they took one of the Samsung phones and just shoved it into the molding.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
By the way, some really quick aside, my cat is with me in North Carolina now, and every time I stop talking, she like starts coming around, and then as soon as I start talking again, she runs. So I don't know what she's afraid of my podcasting. I think
she's not a fan of the show.
I don't think so.
All right. So I had a couple other news items we can just hit real quick.
All right.
That was like,
it went long.
Yeah, we've done. What are we playing? And one topic. Yeah, or one news item.
Maybe we should drop my topic just to.
No. It's fine. It's fine. So it's fine. It's fine.
Just glaze over it. It's fine.
Fine. So, I just want to double back to some recent gaming news and reflect on the fact that we are basically video game prophets.
Oh, are we?
So Mike called the Uncharted 4 delay.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't think it was going to happen. I was on the other side. I know there are some video game pundits out there who've been saying, "Yeah, it's going to be delayed." But I don't know.
How could they possibly know?
I did notice that, and I was impressed. Like after listening, and you said they would delay it, and sure enough, like 2 days later,
into April.
Mike, since you are frequently right, can you please start predicting some positive things?
Yeah. World peace.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, Dave. You don't get to be the next Nostradamus by having good news.
That's true.
And then the other one that came true was when we talked about a few episodes back, which was that Kojima would probably end up partnering with Sony.
Yeah.
And so that one came true. So that's
a really cool thing that happened.
That's awesome stuff.
Now they just need to get PT back up off the ground.
Well, he and Guillermo talking again. Like Guillermo's giving him the award at the DICE video game.
There's gotta be some talks happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really awesome. I know they're gonna be probably making a Metal Gear-esque type game first, but
we'll see.
Why does he have to do that?
It's called Metal Beer.
it's a craft brewing title, yeah, but you brew beer out of metal somehow.
Micro brew simulator, essentially.
I would play it. I would play that.
Like, oh no, we're running dangerously low on hops. So, another news item, Psychonauts 2 has funded.
I know.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
I funded that.
Oh, you did? Awesome. You backed it?
I'd back that, yeah.
Nice. Now, did you back that thing up as an investor or?
No, I didn't know how much you had to put in to be an investor. I was probably a pretty penny. I didn't look that far. I just invested as far as I got the game, physical copy, and some of the swag, and was like, that's good enough. That'll work.
Yeah, that's cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah, I think it is more complicated. You have to like set up like some kind of special account. Escrow account or something crazy like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how money works.
You could invest like $20 and if it goes big, you could make like $40.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe double it. Maybe triple it.
So an interesting thing. $60. As of the recording of this, they have, you know, it's still open, but they're at $3.4 million. The Double Fine adventure game finished at $3.3 million. But it seems to me that Psychonauts 2 would cost more to make than Broken Age. So is that enough money? Because Broken Age, if you watch the documentary of the making of Broken Age, they had a really hard time making that game for the amount of money that they had.
But they were very upfront with the fact on their Fig or their Kickstarter thing. That the money raised, the crowdfunding was only 1/4 of it. Then Double Fine would put up a part of it. Investors would put up another part. And I think the publisher would put up the other part.
Okay. So all right. Cool. I didn't hear that part.
Yeah. They had a little brain illustration where like the frontal lobe was the Kickstarter, the Fig, and then Double Fine doing the medulla oblongata and et cetera.
Oh my,
the brain,
you're using very big words.
Parts of brains.
Brain stuff, you know.
Brain stuff.
That's how we do.
Too much brain stuff for my brain.
So another fun news item, the PS4 is nearing 36 million units sold already.
That's a lot of
it's
units.
It's really crazy.
That is a lot of units. So that is pretty excellent. And then on top of everything, I know Xbox sold really well during the holiday season, and they announced that Halo 5 Guardians, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Forza Motorsport 6, and Gears of War Ultimate Edition all sold.
Ultimate Addiction.
Ultimate Addiction. they each sold over 1 million units during the holiday season. So that's pretty good. So it looks like the Tomb Raider situation was maybe not quite so dire when the console bundle numbers were taken into account.
That's good.
Is it? So yeah. 1 million is a good number for that series to sell?
Well, it's definitely under still.
On a console exclusive game, you know. That's like if you think about the Uncharted games on PS3, they were selling probably 2 to 3 million.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's not too bad
to see,
for
yeah, how the Rise of the Tomb Raider does next year too, at the Game of the Year PS4 edition or whatever.
Yeah,
that,
definitely.
If it laps it or if it matches it or even, I don't know.
Yeah.
So. I know I'm waiting for that, for the actual release next year.
The one with trophies.
One like Mike. Yeah. You're just like Mike right now.
Yeah.
It's true.
All right, you guys ready for some tweets?
Yeah, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, so
that was a little
we
bit
have
Elvis.
some quick fire questions from Kevin. So,
oh yeah, these
I'm
were amazing.
Let's just rattle these off. All Why right. don't we go in order? We'll
Lightning
go
round.
David. We'll go. I'll start with Mike. We'll go Mike, Eric, David, and then I'll take one and etc. So
okay.
All right.
Okay, first
question. Wait, what's the order again? I'm sorry.
I wrote this down.
Who am I after?
Mike, Eric, David, then me, then okay. Mike. Okay?
Get behind right. me,
Mike,
David.
Eric,
yes.
Got it.
David.
So, all right, so Mike, how many Star Wars viewings is too much?
I'd probably say 4 is too much.
Screw you, Mike.
Really, only like a true sociopath would probably go see the same movie 4 times in theaters. That's, I don't know, it's just me.
Okay. Eric, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
What is love? I don't know where to go with that. No more?
All right. David, what does Metal Gear do next? Does it involve Raiden? Will he be wearing high heels?
Well, I think that the next Metal Gear will... there's going to be a trailer, and it's going to look like it stars Snake and Raiden together, like a buddy comedy kind of game. But then you're gonna
I love
play...
it if it's like an 80s buddy comedy.
But then you're gonna play the game and it turns out it follows this whole other character that's like an annoying teenager from high school, and he's having relationship problems and everyone's gonna hate it. That's what I think's next.
That's a nice prediction. Kind of like Metal Gear Solid 2.
Exactly.
And the question for me, Fallout DLC? I say, Kevin, yes.
There's going to be plenty of it, I'm sure.
Mike, when is Sparrow Racing coming back?
Mike doesn't even know what that is.
That's coming back never.
Not
never, ever.
Back. It'll come back.
It was tested out, and we're like, no, this is dumb.
I'm
just like the whole
rest
of this game.
I think they're going to do a love-themed February Sparrow Racing. That's my guess.
Sounds awful.
Hmm. Eric, why did JJ not mention Ewoks?
Well, I think it's because he's planning the whole Ewok spin-off series that he's going to be doing.
One.
And little known fact, JJ is actually a shaved Ewok.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Scoops.
That's racist.
Man, yup nub.
Yup nub. All right,
we can
David,
all real quickly agree that Ewoks are really dumb, right?
I love Ewoks.
Oh, gosh.
You know what? You know what's funny is...
Ewoks were the Return of the Jedi's... Jar Jar Binks,
no, but
really.
They're so much better
you know,
than Jar Jar.
I remember hearing that this as I got older, like people didn't like Return of the Jedi, and I was like, what? Like, oh yeah, all those dumb Ewoks. And I was thinking, I guess I watched it when I was a kid, so I loved the Ewoks, and now and so I have some perspective on, you know, kids who grew up with Phantom Menace and stuff and liked it on that level, because that dumb stuff just didn't bother them, and now they have it. It's a special place in their heart.
But
you know?
Jar Jar's definitely worse, because I know people that grew up watching the prequels like from young kids, and they don't like Jar Jar. So
yeah.
So I think, and Ewoks don't make me cringe except for maybe one or two scenes, versus Jar Jar, which makes me cringe in every scene. So I would say Ewoks are not as bad. Anyway, why are we talking about this so long?
These are quick fire questions. Yeah. Oh man, did you guys? I think we talked about it a little bit, but the Ken Burns Star Wars. Eric, have you seen that?
No. What is this?
Okay, it's like Ken Burns' The Civil War, but it's the Galactic Civil War, and so it's like people being seriously interviewed about Star Wars. It's on YouTube. It's really funny. But
all right,
one of the parts, an interview with Jar Jar.
Yeah, there's no. They quote Jar Jar.
Oh, they
and
quote
they
him.
Said, as Senator Jar Jar Binks once said. Misa think, you know, it's fantastic. And then there's this part where the guy's saying, like, I think the most disturbing part of this entire conflict was that the rebels tricked the Ewoks into thinking C-3PO was some kind of deity and then sent them running into battle armed with nothing but sticks and stones. That's so good. Anyway, find it if you haven't seen it. It's hilarious. Right. Moving along, when one wears... Oh, this is for David.
Okay.
When one wears special socks, showing support of pop culture, e.g. Star Wars, how does one bring this up in a casual conversation?
Okay, so what I would do is I'd be like talking to someone, maybe they're talking about, you know, the latest sports ball game, perhaps, and I will just interrupt them and like pull up the pants leg a little bit and be like, see my socks? They're Star Wars socks. And then that's it.
I see. I use this same approach. Basically, I just, in the middle, completely uncalled for, I will just like kind of lean over subtly, pull up my pant leg and go, you know, something like that.
If you're sitting down, you can just do like the subtle cross your leg a little
see,
bit.
See, that's my technique because I definitely wear special socks every day.
Every day is a special sock.
Yeah, special socks every day.
Yeah, so you kick your leg over, just like you relax. Like, oh, these old things? Oh, man, these are just my penguin with bow ties on.
Oh, these old things? Oh, they're supposed to look like Batman. Yeah, he's got a cape.
No
he's
joke, cape. I do have Mickey Mouse dress socks with Mickey Mouse on them. I don't know why, but I have them.
You're a wild man. Okay, and final question I will field. Is giving flowers a comfortable gift between two men?
Why not?
I don't usually give flowers
what
to
my... What a waste of money, right?
To my men friends.
Wait, what?
To anyone. Mm.
Well, it's
you
like,
buy them an edible arrangement if you
Adam,
really care.
If you give them
yellow
roses, that's
the real...
If you want to give them a cold
mean
and a
friendship,
basket.
Guys. It's not awkward.
Yeah, no... No, Mike is onto it though. He's correct. It's if you want to give quote flowers, give an edible arrangement, and it is like made of delicious candies. That's the way to do it, man to man.
So like a box of chocolates is fine with a heart, like a heart shaped box of chocolates up between two dudes. It's great.
Just David, we could definitely go out if you can buy me some C's candy. I'm 100% into this thing
or whatever chocolates between two bros. Nothing weird about it. next question comes from Adam, not me.
Not you.
This is probably mostly for Mike, but he says, do you struggle going back to replay games for trophies after beating the main story? He says, I try, but can't get into it knowing that I finished the main game.
Yeah.
I'm usually ready to move on to the next game since my backlog is always so full.
Yeah. So here's the thing. No one said earning all those trophies was going to be fun. It's just something you got to do. it's I think it depends on the game. Generally I really only go after the platinum on games that I either really really enjoyed, so I'm not going to mind playing the whole thing again, or if the game has like, let's say, a whole kind of separate campaign, like Infamous Second Son's a great example for this. I haven't gone back yet. I still plan on it, but there's like a whole, you know, play it as a good guy, play it as a bad guy kind of thing. So that game, you kind of want to play it twice. Maybe anyway, not everyone wants to play it twice, but you kind of probably want to play it twice. You want both sides of that coin. And by doing it that way, you have a very good chance of getting the platinum. So, I don't know. It's not for everyone. And it's definitely
it's not for me.
Some games are, I just started this week, or this last weekend. It's been a few months now, but I hopped back into Persona 4 Golden because
it's
definitely
platinum.
Time to get that platinum.
Yeah. I mean, we're all going to make fun of you relentlessly. At least get the Persona 4 Golden
Platinum.
It's
real sad I don't have it yet. But the thing is, like, you're talking about a game that you got to play through for, like, you know, 40, 50 hours, and then you got to play it again for another 40, 50 hours to get that Platinum.
Sometimes, honestly, the
best strategy is to play a game. If you really enjoyed it, you think you want to go back, give yourself a really, like, good-sized gap. Like, don't plan to come back for it for like a year or more. And that way, when you go back to play it, you're like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot some of this stuff. It's not so fresh that I'm bored
it's
by playing it over
again.
Or yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm absolutely with Adam though. Like once I finish the game, I'm like done. Never. Even if it's like one of my favorite games ever, I'll probably never touch it again.
I never want to see this game
in
again.
The trash.
It's right in the garbage.
Every war has its quitters, Adam.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, next question comes from David.
I have a really good answer for this question too.
It's not me.
You don't even know what it is yet.
No, I know what it is.
So with
I know
many,
everything.
David says, with many older gamers now having families, how do you each of you juggle virtual and real life at the same time? Who has the best life juggle tips?
Well, okay, so the best way to balance family and video games is to just not have a family.
Yeah, I'm on that train. Just be a swinging bachelor your whole life. You can play all the games you want.
No, but in all seriousness, when I'm working overtime all the time, I balance work and video games basically by never playing video games. Because I can't. I go to work, I work, and then I sleep. But anyway...
Yeah,
if it weren't for people like me, you couldn't watch Jessica Jones, so you're welcome.
You're welcome. And it's a fantastic show, by good. The way.
Well, I only painted out
good
wires
job, David.
And stuff,
good job.
So I can only take a little bit of credit there.
Excuse me.
Good job, though. Good job.
Okay,
I can remark when I watch it, the lack of wires in the whole show. It's quite amazing.
Part of the reason that I take forever to beat any game is because I am bad at this. Sometimes I'll be really into a game and then I go like a few weeks without even touching it because of family stuff. So I don't know if I'm the right guy for tips on this one, but I know Mike's probably got some good stuff.
Yeah, my tips are not going to work for everyone, unfortunately. I have kind of lucked out in that my wife also likes games. Not every game. There's definitely ones that are just for me.
Well, you could put that on the like a high priority and when you're looking for someone to marry.
You could.
I don't particularly
advise it, unless you have a horrible game addiction and this is going to ruin your marriage.
It's hard enough just to find someone you like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
right?
Here's the thing. Like, when we were dating, she was not into games. She hated them.
Oh.
But we've kind of grown up with this really fortunate kind of evolution of the medium where they're telling these great stories now. And so when I started playing games like BioShock and Uncharted, I was just playing them and she was in the room and she kind of got really into it. And then from there, we would discuss like some games that were coming out. I kind of give her a lowdown on what the story was. And she's like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Let's get that one. And if she's not into it, she'll tell me.
So I know you kind of juggle it by really focusing your gaming on games that she'll be into watching too, right?
Yeah, and then you just don't sleep for the other games, so you just stay up all night long and play the games that she hates.
That's that's kind of when I'm doing any decent amount of gaming, it's because I'm sacrificing sleep for it. So that's my only tip.
And then kids are easy. You brainwash kids into liking games like at a young age.
Well, that's something too. Like for guys with families. Or girls with families who want to play games, you know, it's as your kids get a little older, you can definitely play awesome games that they are totally okay to be in the room for. Like a lot of my favorite games are like The Last of Us, which, they're definitely not allowed to see yet because they're still small. But like, we played all through like Rayman Origins and Rayman Legends, and I loved those games, and they were on board for that for both those. Or like Ni No Kuni, played millions of hours of that, and that's partially because both of my kids loved it and they wanted to watch all the cool familiars and all that stuff. So yeah, there's definitely that side of it too.
Star Wars Battlefront's another good one.
Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront, the kids both love that. So it's definitely if you can find games to play that everyone enjoys, then that helps a lot too. That's kind of why we got a Wii U, so we could all play Mario Kart and Smash Brothers and stuff, and so you can get some gaming in without everyone being away and in bed and everything. So yeah, that's all I got.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Sounds great. So we had a question from Chris, and I figured we could answer it. And then this is also our community question.
Okay.
And I apologize to Chris for including him in the tweet because he probably got a million mentions as people were responding. And I realized after the fact, so sorry, Chris. Anyway. So the question he submitted was, what 2016 games are you most excited about or looking forward to? Mm. For me, I am most looking forward to Ninja Theory's upcoming Hellblade. I simply cannot wait. Horizon Until Dawn. I think he means Zero Dawn. Is a unless there's some kind of awesome horror mashup of that game. is a close second, though. I hope you each had a wonderful holiday break. Wish you the best of the new year.
Oh, and then like a toothy smiley, which is nice.
Yeah, I like it. So, what do you guys think? What are your most anticipated games of the next year here?
Well, I feel like Uncharted 4 has got to be the top of everyone's list here, right?
Yeah, that's my top for sure.
It's not that far away, and it's going to be real good.
Well, yeah, and you know the story is going to be amazeballs.
Yeah.
That's a given. And then on top of that, the multiplayer beta was so much fun. I cannot wait to get into that. So, yeah, that's definitely top of the list for me. My second is probably, what do you call it? Shadow of the Colossus 2.
What is it called?
Last Guardian.
My brain is, I'm losing it. Yeah.
Last Guardian.
Okay, Last Guardian is probably my second, and then Horizon Zero Dawn looks pretty amazing
too. Yeah, that
does
look good.
That one, I worry that one is going to get delayed, because the only thing we've seen from that game is basically the same area in two different demos.
Oh.
So I kind of worry that one might get pushed to 2017, but we'll see.
Yeah. For me, one of the games I'm actually sort of looking forward to, but I'm also kind of worried about, because we haven't seen anything of it in a while, and the beta just got delayed. Tom Clancy's The Division. When they announced it, it looked so cool. It looked really fun. But it's been in development for years
now. It's one of those games that got announced so long ago, I forget about it all the time until someone brings it up.
But it still could be good.
Yeah. It could be great.
Ubisoft's track record isn't great at this point, but it could be. And also No Man's Sky is pretty intriguing too, but I also just, it's just a big question mark still too for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to love it or not. Also, let's not forget Mass Effect Andromeda.
I was
going to
say,
So
I really hope that
might be it, actually,
doesn't get
me.
Pushed. What I hope is that they're aiming for that Fallout 4 kind of reveal, like, showing at E3, it comes out in the fall or winter, and I'm playing it.
I seriously hope that becomes a trend.
I do too.
We saw so many games that were just shown and delayed and delayed, and it just, like, you get to this point where you just don't care anymore until it comes out. Mm-hmm. You know,
because we got that teaser for it. I think it was last year's E3, but we haven't really had anything solid about that game, and I'm okay with that. Like, because I just. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be waiting forever for it. I would be incredibly happy if it came out this year. But
if it makes you feel any better, I did just see a post on Reddit today that someone said that that Mass Effect Andromeda is in a playable form right now. Like, they can play it all the way from beginning to end. So that's a good sign.
Oh, I saw one of the developers saying he had played the first hour of it.
Yeah,
and I tweeted something out about it because it was funny. The only thing he had admitted to, he's like, I was just running around shooting things in the face. It was awesome.
I remember talking to a guy, I think like 2 years ago at GDC, that said he was currently working on it on the next Mass Effect. And I was like, didn't you just come out with one? And like, oh no, the next one. Oh, okay.
Oh.
So it's been in the works for a while.
It sure has.
That's awesome. Been a while. Allegedly, if word of mouth is worth anything.
Every now and then I throw in a reference to another podcast I listen to.
And then, that Horizon Zero Dawn, man, that game looks real good.
It looks good.
Looks good.
Did we hear yours, Eric?
I would say, well, obviously, to Johnny Come Lately, Uncharted is going to be, I'm very excited for the single player and multiplayer. I'm like currently playing through the Nathan Drake collection again to be all up to snuff when it finally comes out again.
Awesome. I got that for Christmas, and I want to platinum all three games.
I finally
it's gonna be so hard. So it's definitely
for achievement hunting too. As you're playing through it, it tells you like all your other friends' achievements as you're getting them. It's like, I got the most headshots because I surpassed David.
You did.
And Adam.
Oh,
and
I
surpassed
best.
You.
Oh, I had just surpassed Adam.
Man, David,
so
you're
playing
stink
through
it's
so much
Uncharted.
Fun. You like, get a headshot, and it's like, bing, you're like five away from like David's score. I'm like, oh, I'm getting that score.
Oh, no.
Only shooting the head
I'm
now.
I'm gonna have to go get more headshots now. That's what's gonna have to happen.
So I just got through one, so I still have 2 and 3 to go, and I'm excited because 2 is my favorite, but I was trying to space out the Uncharted, so that's when I threw in the Tomb Raider in between. But
then
I played through
about half of Uncharted 1, and then I got Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, so I was like, okay, I gotta pause this for a little bit.
So, so Eric cleansed the Uncharted palette with a Uncharted clone. I like it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I threw in some Wolfenstein in there, too, to get FPS going.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Wolfenstein.
But I'd say for the other anticipation, maybe nobody else has, is Crackdown 3.
Oh yeah, oh, yes.
It's a Xbox game. I don't have an Xbox yet, but if that comes out and it's good, I will buy one because Crackdown 1 was one of my favorite like multiplayer experiences. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I've heard that's, it's really fun. Yeah. So
it's just like playing with other friends, like where you launch your car in the air and then he hits it with a rocket launcher and you go like flying through the level. And in the new one too, like the whole cities are destructible allegedly.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
And their cloud process, which I want to see if that's actually just jargon or it actually does anything.
In multiplayer mode, all of the city destruction is like being computed on Xbox servers.
By the cloud. No, by the cloud.
Well, which are Xbox servers running?
No, I think
Azure?
It's just a cloud. It's the clouds.
Okay,
a cloud.
Yeah.
All right. So, what if you do? What happens if you're playing and it's sunny out? Then
there's a cloud somewhere.
It's science, David. Okay. Yeah, science.
My bad.
The cloud. They harness the power of moisture in the air.
Oh, moisture. Yes. Moisture it's, farms.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Tashi Station, power converters, etc.
It's not for another year.
So put this question out to the crew, to the listeners of this here show. Our buds.
Mm-hmm.
Our super and best buds?
Super best buds. And so yeah, we've got some good answers here. Philippe says probably The Division. I just hope it isn't Ubisoft's Destiny.
Yeah, well, Destiny's good now, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, Philippe hopes it's good not now. Destiny.
It's good now.
And then Dishonored 2. He says, I forgot all about Dishonored 2.
Oh, but, yeah.
That looks really good. Logan says, Persona Mother Lovin' 5.
Oh, man.
Which is a good answer. I think Persona 5 is, it's, that series is just right, just primed to be a big hit over in the West, finally.
I don't think it's going to happen. I would kill to have that game on Vita.
So Persona, awesome. I don't know anything about it. It loves mothers? What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
I love my mom, so.
Well, you'd love this game then. Get on board.
Nice.
Hop on the trolley, David.
Okay, cool.
Tom Titus Hughes writes in. He says, hoping to see Final Fantasy 15 and Kingdom Hearts 3, Uncharted 4, Doom, Outlast 2, Horizon, South Park, For Honor, World of Final F.
Everything.
Huh. Yeah, list. Tom, we've talked. We're on the same page as far as backlogs. So it's because of this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a fairly good chance you'll see 15 this year. I would not hold my breath on Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hmm. Says Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man. Come on. Make a good prediction.
Lopez Stradamus?
See, here's the problem with good predictions, David. If I'm just like, yeah, Uncharted 4 is going to come out on time. Everyone's
and it will
be like,
free.
Yeah, of course it did. They told you that's when it would come out. What kind of prediction is that, dummy?
It's a, yeah, it's
start
a positive
throwing
one.
Things out and I don't like
See,
it.
See, I'm starting to get this theory that it's when you predict it that the future changes. So just stop that and predict good things and stop changing the future.
I do sometimes wonder about that with some like big industry pundit type folks when they call something. If it sometimes becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, like they say, oh man, this game's going to tank. No one's going to play this game. And everyone who was mildly interested in it is like, oh, that's right. It's probably going to stink.
It's like, you know, and then, yeah, it's like those quantum particles that are, they behave a certain way when they're not being observed. And then when they are observed, they behave a completely different way. Eric, you know what I'm talking about.
Observation collapse reality.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Schrodinger's cat. Let me hit you with this idea. What if every time I make a prediction, it actually creates a parallel universe where my prediction comes true.
Oh, no.
And you guys no longer get to live in the universe where that game came out on time.
What? Stop shifting my universe. I want to stay in this universe.
Could you please shift universes to where I win the lottery? And then I promise I will buy you guys games. Sometimes.
I can only shift you in universes where good things don't happen on time.
Oh, no.
Can I win
it's
the
like,
lottery
Adam,
late?
You will get a burrito, Adam, but
you are the
it's going to be...
Mike, you
it's going to be tomorrow, not tonight.
Mike, no. You are officially the worst character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
This is true.
All right, Emily writes, she's looking forward to Firewatch. I totally forgot about this
one. Oh my gosh,
one,
you're right. Firewatch looks great.
I have no idea
out,
what it is.
Mm-hmm. Firewatch is coming out in February, so that is like only a few weeks away. And it's like a first-person exploration type game, very story-driven. It looks really awesome, the art style. That's a game that I wouldn't mind playing in VR, actually. That just from what I've seen of it.
I can see
it looks really good. But so we'll see. But that game does look fantastic. Wesley writes, Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth. He says it looks pretty much like a love letter to us longtime fans.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Cool. There you go, man.
I don't know anything about what that is at all.
I don't know if he made that game title up or if I'm just out of it with Digimon.
Digimon, that's sort of that game that's like that's basically Pokemon.
Yeah, but not by Nintendo, I think. I don't know. But they're detectives? I don't know.
They were digital monsters.
Cyber sleuths, which does sound pretty fresh.
That does sound cool.
So JJ says Horizon Zero Dawn, Overwatch, and The Last Guardian.
Oh, yeah, Overwatch. I meant to throw that one in there.
Huh?
That game's going to be fresh.
Yeah, I'm already pre-ordered on that and everything. I think I double pre-ordered it even because I got PS4 and PC.
Oh man, look at you, Mr. Moneybags over there.
Well, I know I'm going to play on PS4 launched with like you and all of my friends. Yeah. And then in the long haul, I'm going to be playing it on PC because that's where the longevity is going to
be.
Yeah,
we'll see. That's true. I did have fun playing it on PC, but I would just much rather play with a controller. So we'll see what happens though.
The folks over at Gamer's Vantage say Uncharted 4, Doom, Ratchet and Clank, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, yeah. I was just reading about that today, too. Yeah, it looks fantastic. I'm really excited for Doom also.
Huh.
These guys have good ideas.
I'm starting to see some common threads. The one-track gamers say Uncharted 4 and Horizon Zero Dawn, if that does come out.
Man.
And then, last but not least, Kylo Ruben says...
I love that new Twitter handle.
Kylo Ruben says Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon Zero Dawn, and then also Horizon Zero Dawn, hashtag Horizon Zero Dawn.
Man, people have a lot of faith in this game that we've only seen a tiny bit of.
It does look fantastic, and Guerrilla is a pretty proven studio. I mean, they're really good.
Sort of.
I think Grill's a good studio. And I think the different interviews I've read with people who've seen it behind closed doors, so who've seen more of the game than we have, those have all been really positive as well. So far that game hasn't given me any reason to think it's not going to be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess time will tell. Hey, you just made a positive prediction, by the way, so that means it won't be true.
No! So Maya writes in, one final question.
Okay.
This one is for Arnie.
Whoa.
Is Arnie around tonight?
I haven't heard him. Has anyone seen Arnold?
I haven't seen
everyone
him.
Everyone check your closet real quick.
He was just here, I thought.
Oh, he was at your place.
Yeah.
So the question from Maya is, what is the game that makes you feel the most powerful? Which game character is the most OP? I would argue that Kirby is crazy powerful. He exhales and people die.
That's true. That's very
so true. I figure we can all answer, and then we'll if Arnold shows up, then he can answer too.
Okay. I hope he bursts through a wall
like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, just like that.
Instantly what I thought of was Oddjob from GoldenEye.
Do you remember,
like, everyone had to make rules. Everyone had to make rules, like, no picking Oddjob.
Oh,
he was just too tough to shoot.
He was below everyone's, default, vertical aiming range, so he was impossible to hit.
Oh, it was impossible. And another one that I think of is Eddie Gordo from Tekken. It was like, anyone could pick that up and then just, string together tons of ground combos, and you would just die and die against him. So those are the ones I was thinking of.
I think the most OP video game character is Tails in Sonic 2, because if you have someone playing with a second controller, he literally is invincible. If he runs off the screen, he just flies back in and he's not dead.
I'm back.
Yeah, he's right back. So
I don't know. What do you guys think? Most OP?
I would say any character from a Lego game. Because you can't be killed. You cannot be killed in those games. In fact, if you're playing one of the DC or Marvel ones with certain characters, they're like invulnerable to almost every attack in the game, which is great when you're playing with your daughter and you don't have the heart to tell her that she's no good at games yet. You just let her play as Superman. She'll knock it out of the park. Be great.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. You forgot to mention you've been playing Lego.
Dimensions.
We'll get to that,
my friend. Don't you worry.
Oh, okay.
Don't you worry. Yeah.
Oh, spoilers. Okay. Spoilers. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, it's Arnold.
Whoa.
Listen up here.
Wait, Arnold,
I can tell you.
Dramatic pause.
How did you get in the room? I didn't hear
I came
you.
In.
I didn't hear a door.
I kicked the door in.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Now I'm here.
Okay.
So listen, here's the most powerful character in all of video games.
All of them, okay.
I'm talking, of course, about Ben Richards, my character from Running Man on the Commodore 64.
That is the perfect console for you to say.
Of course. So, Ben Richards, of course, he's the hero, and he looks just like me. But it's really not overpower. It's more like appropriate level of power, because he just kills everybody. Come on! You all die now!
This is the kind of thing I was expecting to hear when you entered Adam's room. But instead, you just kind of quietly appear.
I sneak up. A big man can also be stealthy.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Sorry to derail.
Well, anyway, guys. Anyway, bros. Yeah. Run! Go! Get to the corner!
Hey, it was a pleasure having you, Arnold. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Arnold.
They call us bros. Always. That's pretty good.
I am Arnold's bro. That is the best.
Yep. All right. Thanks, as always, to Arnold for showing up. Sometimes he graces us with his presence.
He's really graces. Stealthy. He kicked down that door so quietly.
It was a curtain door, I guess.
Yeah. So Audible is offering the listeners of this podcast a free audiobook of your choice.
What?
And a free 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/sbfvgs and choose from over 180,000 audio programs.
That's
you
a
download
lot.
A title for free.
Whoa.
You start listening
for
to
freezies?
It. That title is actually yours for good. You don't have to listen to it in the 30 days. Mm. You could just sign up, get it, boom, you got an audiobook.
Whoa.
And it's yours to keep.
To keep.
It's fun
for
and
free.
Easy and good to do.
And
good
how much does this free book cost me?
It costs you nothing as long as you cancel before 30 days is up.
But you may not want
now,
to because it's actually a legit service.
That's the thing. What they got me because I signed up for the 30-day trial. I was loving it. Now they dragged me back in. So now I've got a couple new audiobooks to listen to. I'm excited. So anyway, I wanted to recommend Off to Be the Wizard by Scott Meyer. So here's the breakdown. If you haven't heard of this book, it's a simple story. Boy finds proof that reality is a computer program. Boy uses program to manipulate time and space. Boy gets in trouble. Boy flees back in time to medieval England to live as a wizard.
Okay.
While he tries to think of a way to fix things, boy gets in more trouble.
Huh.
Oh, and boy meets girl at some point. It is a light comedic novel about computers, time travel, and human stupidity.
Right before he became a time-traveling English wizard, I was like, is this just the novelization of The Matrix?
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Boy learns how to. Yeah. Boy knows kung fu.
Boy learns there is no spoon.
Boy knows kung fu.
Boy tricks us all into thinking the Wachowskis are talented.
Oh man, boy sure did.
Boy sure did. So that is the book, "Off to Be the Wizard" by Scott Meyer.
Well, that sounds
you can check
fantastic.
That out. Yeah, you can check that out on audibletrial.com/sbfvgs. Yes, that's audibletrial.com/sbfvgs.
Or you could just get The Martian.
Or you can get The Martian.
Yeah.
All
it's
right,
also
you
good
gentlemen.
In paper book form too, and movie form.
Movie
it's
form is great. I just watched it. It's really good. Okay, I'm done.
I gotta see it.
It's
I
good
to see it.
There was madness. I need direction.
Okay, topics. You guys.
Hey, topics. We made it to topics.
I know, right?
We might not survive the topics, though.
So I'd like to go first, if I may.
Sure.
As my topic involves chatting Eric up about PSX.
Oh man!
So
are you going to get some digits?
Yeah, I think so. So almost exactly one month ago, Eric was reveling in the glories of the PSX experience, and he was slated to come on the show right after, and it fell through. We wept bitterly,
bitter tears.
But we carried on.
A slight reference managed to creep into that episode.
Yeah, if you listen carefully,
we thank Eric for something he did not do.
Yeah, we thanked him for being our PSX correspondent, and he was not on that show.
Well, you were thanking me in the future for now.
Exactly. I was thanking him for what would surely come to pass, which is right now.
Adam, in this case, was the time-traveling boy wizard.
All right, so I was curious, why don't you just run us through kind of your favorite things that you saw?
Okay, so I had not been to a PSX before, and I think I, knowing what I know now, would be able to do it better in the future regarding specifically the PSVR, which I was very excited to try out and was not able to despite my best efforts. I waited in some lines for hours at a time with no progress, and I found that you have to have signed up to get in line to the actual lines. So whereas in line to get in line and I kind of decided that was a lost cause at that point. I heard people talking like halfway through the first day that it was signed out for all like to see rigs or to see Valkyrie. It just wasn't happening. So unfortunately, I didn't get to see any of the VR stuff, but I did get to, stick my looking balls on a bunch of cool new things coming out. they had like the Dark Souls 3 like stabbing guy with the blood splurting out fountain thing that was going off every few seconds, which was kind of amazing
for the kids.
I did get to play like a bunch of the indie stuff on the lower level that was really cool, like Severed, the new game. It looks really cool. I had a lot of fun with it, and it's like I love the art style. I love the studio just from Guacamelee, because it was an amazing game, and it's the one of the only Vita games coming out ever, I think.
It might be the last one. Yeah, I played that a little bit at like an earlier build, obviously, at last year's PSX, and came away really impressed. Because I was thinking, I'm not gonna like this very much. It's like
Fruit Ninja something.
It's like Fruit Ninja slash what is that? Epic Games iPad one with the sword.
Infinity Blade. Yeah,
Infinity Blade. Yeah, I was thinking Awesome Sword. So I'm gonna make a game called Awesome Sword. But yeah,
you totally could.
I also saw Headlander, the like new Double Fine one that's coming out. That's like you're like the floating head who like attaches yourself onto various robot bodies throughout the game.
I have not even heard of that game.
It seems very cool. I think it has a little ways to go, but it's like it seems like a very fun
kind of interesting. Is it an Adult Swim game?
I know it's Double Fine.
But I Googled Headlander and Adult Swim.
Is it Adult Swim too?
It is Adult Swim.
They're both right next to each other.
Adult Swim Games proudly presents Headlander.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Oh my, oh my.
Interesting. Yeah. Worlds are colliding, Jerry.
Well, Adult Swim is putting out some like really cool stuff. I've always been a big fan of their kind of iPhone games and just even their web games, and they're moving into doing bigger and bigger stuff. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Because some of the better indie games have that kind of flavor to them, like the sense of humor or just the wanton violence.
Let's see, and I also played Tomorrow Children briefly.
Oh yeah, how was that?
So I got maybe about 10 minutes to play around with it, but I got the feeling already that like this is way too big for 10 minutes, because I was these huge massive, like I was climbing up this giant monster that had already been like mined out for ages, so it's like digging through its caverns and then like equipping a jetpack and flying really high to the top, and I didn't quite get the scope of what everything you could do, but it seems so deep that it has me really interested to actually play it from the beginning and see, because the art style is really cool and the gameplay is really fun. It's just that there's so much to it. It seems like something I'd want to spend a lot of time with. And then as for other things, I got to play Parappa 2 on the PS4.
That's awesome.
I need to buy that. Cool.
I'm not sure like if it was just the streaming or what, but like there wasn't any lag to it. It was really fun.
Huh.
It wasn't
streaming, right? It was actually playing on a local PS4 there.
I tried to back out and I couldn't see. It was like blocked. So
that's weird.
Yeah.
So, I believe that game is running on the native
emulation, right?
Okay.
The PS2 emulation. Yeah.
Right.
That would make sense, because there was no lag to the button pressing.
Yeah, that would be really tough to play over PS now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Then for AAA, I got to play the Uncharted 4 multiplayer a bit, which I also like the beta was already out too at the time.
That was so much fun.
But I dominated in the one game I got to play. I got like the top of the list.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like a good feeling. I didn't know before that, but they were giving out prizes for the person who won the rounds like in each of the games. So I just walked out with my arms raised and didn't realize I could have gotten a prize. For that.
You're just like in your face, and you're just like peace, and you back out. Like
the guy walks over and he's like, "Hey, you got first." And I was like, "Yeah, I know."
Like, yeah, no big deal.
Oh, that's good.
It's what I do.
Yeah, exactly. So I got to play a little of the Far Cry Primal. Which,
oh, cool. How was that?
I thought it was interesting and definitely like a different take on Far Cry. I think for me, the Far Cry series is running a little thin now at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I thought definitely it was really cool in the way that it's not technology and guns, but you're using like axes and arrows and animals, like animal companions. Mm-hmm. I spent the whole of my demo time trying to tame the saber-tooth tiger, which apparently only two other people had done the whole PSX. So it was a long shot, but I tried and it mauled me several times before I finally gave up. Like it could sense me even with the slightest hint. Like I was sneaking up behind it, I want to throw the meat at it to tame it, and it would flip around and just maul the crap out of me. And then the last one I got to play was For Honor, which I was really excited about.
Yeah, that actually looks really fun.
That game looks so good.
So seeing the gameplay before, I thought it kind of looked like a 3D Nidhogg kind of style, where it's the sword fighting where you have to block high, mid, low.
Yeah, I could see that.
And the gameplay actually is almost exactly like that, where you block in three directions. Mm-hmm. Then you have like two power-ups that you get throughout like leveling up, because you start at zero and you level up through the matches. It was really fun. I can see a lot of potential in it. My team got trounced pretty hard playing, so it's like I was trying to see the bright side of it, but I was also the last one standing and had to like take on a bunch of guys at once. So it was really fun. And I was also the highest level one, so I got to call in like the artillery and stuff. So it was
interesting.
I'm watching gameplay footage of this now. I have not heard of it.
Oh, the game looks so fun.
Looks really fun.
So you block
it reminds
like
me of like
left, right, and low. Or
it reminds
left, right,
me
and high.
Of like Bushido Blade in a way, too.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it looks like pretty deadly in the way, like if you get hit.
But. And is it multiplayer?
Yeah, it's only, I know. I assume it's only multiplayer.
I think so.
It's almost kind of MOBA-esque in the way that you have tons of mobs that move, and then you're the heroes who go with it.
Oh, man, that's really
cool. But you're also
cool.
Like the big sword guys, and you attack by swinging high and like low left or low right, and then you'll see that on your screen, so you can block correspondingly.
Wow.
And then you can counter, or you can like parry, or you can straight up block, or you can just try to hit them faster, because there's like fast attack and heavy attack.
This guy I'm watching playing is terrible. He works at IGN. I don't know who it is, but you should tell him how bad he is.
Is his name Eric? Or?
No, it's not you. I don't know who it is playing it, but if you meet the guy that played For Honor in the 7 minutes of For Honor gameplay, just tell him I said he's really bad at the game.
All right. Yeah. I'll be sure to do that. I'll write that down right now.
Okay, good.
Davidson. Okay.
All right, that's awesome. Now, my last question about PSX. Did you get to meet any fabulous celebrities?
Well, what's kind of funny is I was in line, when I was in line for the VR stuff, the guys in front of me were like, oh my God, look. And they're like, it's the guys from the Beyond podcast. And I'm like, oh yeah, I see those guys every day. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, I'm going over there. And he like runs over and talks to him. And I'm just like, hi. Yeah. Okay.
I see those guys.
It's like suckers. I just got a little further up in line.
Yeah. But besides that, no, I didn't. Oh, one thing I did get to see was a live demo of the Dreams game.
Media Molecule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They basically had like an art competition where they had a bunch of people draw their idea of a monster, and then the crowd voted on which one's the best, and then the Media Molecule guy created that monster in 3D in Dreams like in like 10 minutes. It was amazing.
That's,
it was like really detailed.
I watched them have another artist. They did a live stream and they had an artist design like a girl puppet that she like made dance around, and It's really impressive. Their tools are amazing.
That one I'm really excited for VR too. It seems like that stuff, like really immersive, those sort of things will just be really cool.
Is that going to be
I'm
VR?
Excited for that.
Dreams?
I've pretty much all but guaranteed you use it with Move controllers. It seems like it's going to have to be. It's not going to be exclusive to VR, I'm sure. But
no, it's definitely not. Yeah.
I don't know if they've confirmed it, but I'd be kind of surprised if they did.
Yeah,
they
do. That's how they, I feel too. I'd be surprised if they wouldn't.
Media Molecule's pretty much always down with whatever peripheral Sony has. Like, they pretty much always support them. Like, in every game, like Little Big Planet 3, I think, supported the Move controller for like designing levels and stuff. So.
Well, they had that demo thing they did too, where they were making things out of clay. I think that's what it eventually turned into Dreams.
Or maybe I said, did I say 3? I may have meant 2. Did they make 3? I don't remember.
No, they didn't make 3.
Yeah, so it was
3
2 was then that had the Move controller support.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I've derailed.
that's pretty awesome stuff, though, man. I envy you.
Yeah, I would definitely say if you want to go to PSX, though, be aware beforehand of signing up to get in line for things that are really popular.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. Yeah. And also, I would recommend from the year that I went that you bring a Vita or a 3DS or something to play in these ghastly long lines.
Because definitely.
I saw a bunch of people doing that, and I was like, oh, those people are smart, and I'm so stupid. so stupid.
I had brought my iPhone. I was playing a bunch of Hearthstone while I was waiting in line.
Oh, Hearthstone.
The old
just
Hearthstone.
Just pulling up a chair at the Hearthstone.
Oh, playing a little bit of Hearthstone.
Drinking a little ale. Playing little cards.
That's pretty much exactly what's going on.
Good stuff. All right, David.
Well, oh, that's me.
Are we skipping your topic or are we doing this?
Wow. Same topic. That's beautiful.
I was thinking really hard and I just turned it into a nice little song. Let's go for it. On Monday, January 4th, the PSN network was down for the better part of an entire day. Do you guys remember this? Was anyone?
I do remember.
I was not affected
was at
by
work.
It. But
where were you during the
PS4
outage?
I was definitely at work, but the PS4 subreddit was full of people complaining. So given the ever increasing number of online only games out there these days, network outages mean that you basically can't play your games until they restore service. Mm-hmm. So I know I don't know what happened to my mouth. I know no Cooney. Network is foolproof. And intrepid hackers will always find ways to bring networks offline. You guys totally can't tell I'm reading this right.
It's so natural.
No. It's basically inevitable. But we pay for access to these networks. Some gamers were very upset about the PlayStation Network being down, but my question is, do we have a right to be upset about stuff like this? At what point do we cross the line from being upset to acting like spoiled entitled brats?
Mm-hmm.
So just to boil it down, my question is, networks go down, we pay for them, should we be pissed?
I think, I guess it really depends. Like, I guess I could see myself getting mad if, because for me, the dedicated gaming block of time, like I have the house to myself, and it's like nobody's around.
You've
and
been
I'm
planning
play
it for
some,
weeks.
I've been like, I'm going to play some Star Wars Battlefront till my eyes bleed. I can see like if that's like I'm all like got my snacks and I'm on the couch and I got all the lights dimmed and the speakers are up and you go to connect like nope, PSN's down. I can definitely see if you were making an event like that, it would be I'd be bummed. I'd be pretty bummed out. But I do love single player games so much that I'd be like, oh well, I'll play a single player game. So I almost never get mad about these things. I understand why some people do, because that's the only way they play games, or the majority of the way they play games is online. But yeah, for me, I it doesn't really bother me. I know these things happen. In working in IT, I know that catastrophic technical failures are just around every corner. And so,
to me, it's a miracle that services are actually up as often as they are.
I'm impressed that anything works ever, because it's so complicated to keep going. So, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of along those lines. Like, there have been times when I've been severely addicted to an online-only game. Fortunately, so far, I have not been affected by a network outage. For me, that game was Destiny. So there is one aspect to this. Like, Destiny kind of feels like a single player game sometimes. You could totally just explore the universe by yourself and, you know, do stuff. But you still can't play it if the PSN is offline.
What a shame.
And yeah. And there's going to be a lot more games like this in the future where, I mean, yeah, we might, and now I hope we don't, but we might get to a point where every single player game needs a network connection for some reason, like maybe it's cloud-based physics or, you know...
Microsoft is trying to push that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the X-Bone.
So, like, this is a very real possibility that in 5 years' time, every game needs to be online all the time. So, so you know, what's going to happen? This is my, like, what is going to happen? I just don't know. Mike, you seem to be able to predict things pretty well.
So my prediction on that, I don't think you're wrong. I think eventually we'll hit a point where everything is purchased digitally, and the easiest way to kind of DRM that thing is, yes, to have an online connection. My guess and my hope is that the way they'll do it is the way that some services do it now, where they don't need a constant connection and they don't even have to check in every day, but there's some kind of time frame where the system needs to check online and just validate that this thing is legit. So I know, like, I use the Vudu service for my Ultraviolet movie collection, and I can download films and it's fine. I think it checks in like once every 30 days for my downloaded copies. So if I'm going to be somewhere and I want to be able to watch that movie, but I don't want to stream it, I can download it. I can put on anything that I want, but that file does need to check in like once every 30 days to validate itself. And I'm actually okay with it. That's fine. I feel like that's reasonable. I feel like it'd be unreasonable to check in every single day because, yeah, then you have an outage and then you can't use your content. Back to the original question, I really feel like it's situational. Like, back in 2011, when the PSN went down for like 2 months, 3 months, something like that.
Yeah, that was something that came to mind.
Completely legit for you just to lose it, because that was upsetting and ridiculous.
And was that before PlayStation Plus?
I think PlayStation Plus existed.
It did exist, but not like it does now.
I don't think it had the same penetration it does now. It wasn't a requirement.
It wasn't required
for online play like it is now.
Yeah. It was just like extra games, and some games required it. But it was, I think, like just the MMOs required it. Really.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like with this outage, it was one of the things I wasn't personally affected by it. It wasn't a big deal to me. Like, okay, it's down. I'll just play a single player game. No big deal. But I also understand, like, we're just outside the Christmas season. A lot of people just got their consoles. They probably got Star Wars Battlefront, and now they're upset they can't play. And I feel like that's a legitimate, you know, that's a legitimate complaint. Like, you bought something, it only works online, and now you can't play it. And it's not like, oh, this has been out for a while, and you just have one day where you can't play it. It's like you just got it for Christmas. Like,
stinks.
I understand.
I can definitely see taking to Reddit. If I got the Star Wars Battlefront PS4 bundle or whatever, you know, for Christmas, and the 4th is my day off, and I can, you know, or you arranged with all your buddies to play that day, and now it's down, you know, like, so there are definitely situations where I can see being bummed about it, but I don't know.
And I feel like there's that kind of school thought where it's fair. Like, if you pay for a service, and we get into kind of a gray area here, because you pay for PlayStation Plus, that isn't necessarily for just the online service. It encompasses a lot of things, but to be completely fair, you are in some way paying for this online connectability. If it ever goes down, I think you have some right to be upset. The degree to which you're upset is very case specific, but it's like, it's like for me, like I pay Verizon a huge portion of my daughter's college fund every month to have internet. It's very expensive. And if it goes down, I'm legitimately upset. Even if it's down for like half a day, I'm upset because the cost, what they charge me, and they're not going to give me a break on that outage. I've tried. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It is. So if it goes out, like, I'm paying so much money a month for this service, like, yeah, I'm upset. But it's like when it's PSN and I pay $50 a year for the service, and if it goes down for half a day or a day, like, yeah, it stinks. I'm not a fan of it, but I'm usually not going to lose it over a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. I definitely cut them a lot of slack because I easily get $50 back in free games every year.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So, we've earned some good graces.
And it's far above that, but easily I get $50 worth of games that I care about. So it's basically a free online service for me. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't complain about it too much.
How about you, Eric? No. Anything?
I think that's very much true. I think people can be a little too entitled with stuff sometimes, but if it's a service you're paying for, it can be frustrating when it goes down. you know, I don't know, pretty much reiterating everything you guys said.
All right.
That sounds good.
Sounds like we figured it out, guys.
We got it solved.
We got to the root of it.
Figured it out.
High fives.
High fives.
Okay. So,
high fives.
So, Mike, your topic, the final topic of the evening.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. I'm dying.
Hey, don't die. Can your topic be to stop dying 2016?
That would be nice. So, I don't know if this applies to all of you guys. I know it applies to myself and Adam. So, my daughter's big Christmas present this year was we got her Lego Dimensions. Which, honestly, if you've been playing Lego games, I think they're fun. I think they're very humorous. They're great for kids because, like we talked about earlier, like your character, if you die, like they just literally respawn exactly where they were. There's no penalty for it. So she got that. We've been playing. We've been having a blast. I've posted a picture online. We've fallen down the rabbit hole of all the extra goodies we've gotten for it. It comes with Batman and Gandalf and who is that?
And this is the Lego movie.
Yeah,
this is the Lego movie version of Batman, right?
Well, that's the great thing. It's not. It's the Lego Batman games version of Batman. Wild Styles, who I was thinking of from Lego movie. And one of the first things that happens in the game, like in the intro of it, is your character of the Lego Batman games Batman meets the Lego movie version of Batman, and you get to kind of see how opposed they are. It's fantastic.
That's amazing.
And then my daughter she's been really into Cyborg, the DC character. I'm not really sure why, because I don't think I have any comics that really feature him, but she loves him, and that's cool.
Is he one of the guys from Teen Titans?
I believe he is.
Yeah, I think
she knows
be.
Him more from Justice League, but
oh, I see.
Yeah, diatribe on the crazy fanboyisms we have here.
I know almost nothing about DC comics.
That's
so.
Okay. But anyway, so she's been super into Cyborg, so we got her Cyborg as an add-on, and then she got some Christmas money, and so she immediately went out and she bought Wonder Woman for the game as well. And then my wife got me the Back to the Future pack.
Oh, man.
Which is nice. Which is really amazing. So we already have all these Lego things all over the place. Anyway, to get to the question, this is one of those kind of toys to life game. You have, you know, Disney Infinity and Lego Dimensions and Skylanders. And I'm sure there's more of them out there. Well, do you guys have any experience with these games? What do you think of them? My first impression was like, this is a very clever way to get people to spend a bunch of money on toys for their kid that have like one purpose and are a complete waste of money. And I gotta be honest, this game has changed my mind a little bit, and I'll get into why, but I'm kind of curious what your guys' experiences have been with these kind of games.
Oh yeah. So I'll answer because, my boy is, and my daughter now are way into both Skylanders and Disney Infinity.
That's two.
And so it started with Skylanders, you know, and they were getting all the figures and this, and that's annualized. So there's a new one and there's a new portal and a new batch of toys to buy every single year. And so we started just staying a year behind on Skylanders.
Oh, okay.
And then you can get them all a lot cheaper. But Disney Infinity is the main one here. And I think actually Disney Infinity has taken the lion's share of the Toys to Life market.
I think
it's
so
the
too.
It's the number one or whatever. And I think part of that is the genius of releasing 2.0 as like Marvel characters and 3.0 as Star Wars characters. And so
yeah,
there's definitely a lot of motivation for me as a parent to like, hey, man, my boy, listen up. Don't you want the A New Hope set, you know, with Luke and Leia?
I want Jar Jar.
Yeah, so like, and they were smart because the game, the Star Wars one, it comes with like some no-name alien Jedi and Anakin. So naturally, I'm going to be like, listen, you got to get Luke and Leia, though, if you really want real Star Wars. But all that to say that, yeah, we have a ton of these little plastic toys around the house. And
but Skylanders is kind of waning and Disney Infinity, like I said, is kind of taking over. I feel like it's kind of genius because there's that thing of when at a certain point you're like, man, these kids have been playing games like way too long. Like, okay, you got to stop playing games and like play outside or play with your toys or something. And then they just grab those exact same toys they're already playing with and they turn the game off and they keep playing with them. There's kind of this interesting balance where it's a cool collectible for like if you're older and you just want to have like these figurines. You know, I know a lot of people get into that collecting game. And then, but for the kids, you know, it's an actual toy on top of, you know, a video game. Basically, because what you're doing is you're buying DLC for the game.
Yep.
It just happens to already be on the disc. Every time you buy a new character, it just unlocks something that you already own. And so that...
Oh, that's that kind of weird. I never thought of that.
That kind of rubs me the wrong way when I think about it that way. But on the other hand, yeah, you just got this cool toy. So, yeah, that's my take on it.
Okay. Yeah. Just to clarify, I don't think the Anakin comes with a no-name Jedi. Doesn't he come with Ahsoka, his Padawan?
Oh, that is not a no-name, Adam. That is Ahsoka. Ahsoka Tano.
Some no-name alien. What you're
talking about. It's Snips.
Yeah. So I didn't watch Clone Wars or what. I think that's probably where you learned that. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Of course that's where I learned it. It's canon.
I just know that because I'm a nerd. Okay?
It's Star Wars canon, happening. Adam.
Yeah, so there's some no-name weird alien Jedi.
She was a cool Jedi long before Rey ever existed.
No, Rey's the first female Jedi.
Nope.
Before Yaddle, before any of
that. So I would like to say I have zero experience playing any of these games. However, I do own one Disney Infinity character.
That's weird.
Because I really like... So let me just say, these characters are designed very well. They all fit, like, I just love their art style, and they all fit together. All the, like, you can have a Monsters, Inc. guy and put him right next to a Star Wars guy, and they still kind of look like they belong together in a weird sort of way. The way they kind of adapted all of the like, proportions and features and everything, just from, like, a purely artistic standpoint.
Yeah, they managed to unify the art style somehow. Yeah, it's really well done.
It's amazing. And I saw the Donald Duck figurine, and he's got this looks so mad, and I loved Donald Duck when I was a kid.
He's usually mad.
Yeah. He's usually pretty mad.
Yeah, I loved Donald Duck when I was a kid because I used to have, you know, like temper tantrums and stuff when I was a kid, so I like kind of related to him, you know. I was like you know, I was kind of a trouble child when I was growing up.
Rebel.
Yeah, so I saw Donald Duck and I was like, I gotta have Donald Duck. So I'm holding him right now in my hand. He's just looking at me real angrily, and I love it. However, the ones that I would be most interested in, like, checking out for real are the Amiibos, because I love me some Nintendo. And, like, for example, in Super Mario Maker, you buy one of those figures, and then you can unlock that costume, so you can make a level that has that costume in it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's actually the only Amiibo I own. I got it for Christmas, is the pixelated Mario Amiibo.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
And now he's sitting up on top of my Xbox One, looking down on all the other consoles.
He's conquered the Xbox One.
And we actually did put him into Super Mario Mario Maker, and, you know, you get like the... You can unlock the huge Mario now.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay.
So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So there are cool perks. I like the idea of the Amiibo, and they're probably some of the coolest looking figurines out there.
Yeah.
But we just haven't jumped down that rabbit hole because I feel like there's a genius to making it a playable character that you're unlocking
as
opposed to just like perks and costumes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have a few Amiibos just because I wanted some of them, and I haven't used them for anything actually yet, but I like Mario and Ness and Kirby, I think, something. Yeah. I wanted to get more, but they're so hard to find too now that I'm not trying too hard, but...
Yeah.
One nice thing they did fix, though, after like the first round of the Smash Brothers characters, is they seemed to fix the problem with having to... All their poses were very like on their tiptoes or like flying through the air. So they had to use these weird like booger blocks to hold them in place and stuff, which they seem to have fixed, where they have their feet firmly planted for all the new characters.
Yeah, like, some of them were very unfortunate, if I remember correctly. Like some of the ones like jumping in the air, they just have like a clear plastic pole coming from their nether regions.
It's not even clear. Sometimes it's like green or yellow, like plastic, like the key blocks.
it was bad design ideas back then, but I think they fixed that.
Yeah. I think you need to like have the poses better, I think.
So let me run you guys through a sales pitch here on this LEGO Dimensions.
Sure.
I've only touched the Disney one a little bit. I've never played the Skylanders one. And the Disney one didn't really, it's for kids, so I try to take that with a grain of salt. The gameplay did not do it for me at all.
They're all for kids,
well,
Mike.
Here's the fun thing. If you've ever played any of the Lego, especially the more recent ones, the Lego games, they're great for kids because the gameplay is very simplistic and you can't really die. Mm-hmm. But the gameplay is not so simplistic that it's not interesting to play as an adult. And I feel like the humor level has always been pretty on point. And so the games are like enjoyable, even from an adult perspective. So the Lego Dimensions game kind of just runs with what you've seen previously with the other Lego games. So if you like the other Lego games, you'd probably like Dimensions, which is a really cool thing.
I've tried playing three different Lego games. And I've gotten bored within an hour.
Okay, this is not for you at all. This is not going to change your mind.
I've always liked the Lego games. And I also especially like about Dimensions too, how you can have like Homer Simpson and Gandalf and like Chell from Portal
the best.
In a level together. That sounds
what's
amazing.
What's really great is one of those characters will interact like in really, really funny ways. Like Cyborg came with some giant like robot. So I put him on the platform and had Gandalf jump into it. And he makes a comment like, oh, you guys have a rock troll. And it's pretty fantastic if you're a super nerd.
It's awesome.
I hear GLaDOS plays a pretty large part in the campaign. Is that true?
Yeah, there's actually a whole Portal campaign and it's amazing. Like, I'm definitely gonna have to pick up the Portal DLC because there's a fairly lengthy Portal level in the game that's just outright. Mm-hmm. You don't have to buy any DLC, you just get this Portal level in the game. And it's really fun. And so I've heard that the Portal DLC is really, really good, so I'm gonna go pick that up.
Cool.
Awesome. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
So
I guess to wrap up the Toys to Life topic, because that's the thing. Like, it definitely, when you're on the outside looking in, these things, it looks like a huge money making scam, and surely it is.
but
they're actually pretty fun too.
If I had to steer you in one direction, I would say that if you're an adult who is going to play this with your kids, you might get the most enjoyment out of Lego Dimensions because all of the figures are actual Lego figures. So you can use them like Legos. All little vehicles you build are functional Lego vehicles.
That is pretty cool.
It's pretty darn cool in that aspect. Cool. Even the Portal itself has functionality. Like, there's many parts of the game, like the Portal level, for example, the different sections of the base will like change colors, and that's how you portal your characters through the different areas.
That's cool.
And the DLCs are pretty much geared for adults, just straight up, because I already have, like, on my wish list, the Portal DLC. I got the Back to the Future DLC. I have the Ghostbusters DLC on my wish list. The Simpsons DLC. And it's like, kids don't know what any of these things are. Like,
it's true.
This is all made for me. She just gets to play with me. So that part is really, really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
So, like, I feel
like, and is it like Legos that you build?
Yeah,
the
base
sets
itself, it'll take you like 20 minutes. Mm. You have to straight up build the entire thing out of Legos, which is
that's really fun.
Yeah,
I think
it's fantastic.
That's like video games and Legos together.
Fantastic. My daughter's
amazing.
Just got into Legos. So, like, this is like basically every character, like, usually comes with a vehicle. And so you make the character. Mm. It's really, really simple. And then at some point in the story, you'll reach a point where it's like, okay, now here's the instruction manual. You need to build your Lego vehicle, and here's how you do it.
Nice. Yeah, that's
very,
cool.
Very cool. I guess if you're going to pick one and you're going to be stuck as an adult playing one of these games, the Lego Dimensions game is actually really fun.
And I mean, I can say as someone who has not played that one and who has played plenty of Skylanders and Disney Infinity, I've had a good time with both of those. So.
Oh, and here's one quick thing I did notice that, Adam, maybe you can speak to this because you've played the other two at more length than I have. But one of the things I've always heard about these games is like, oh, this is where they get you. Is like there's a section in the level like, oh, you can only do this if you've bought this character, so you got to run out to the store and pay $15 to buy that character, or this content is locked off.
Yeah,
and that is absolutely true. Yeah, you'll be playing some Skylanders and you come up to a portal like, you have to have a Skylander of the Earth element to make it through this portal.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's definitely like this carrot on the end of the stick, like, oh, that looks really cool. Really. Yeah. I wish we could play that.
So,
and that's the thing. Like, you know, it's on the disc, Resident Evil 5 style. You know that DLC is already on the disc, but you just have to pay something to get to it.
So the way Dimensions addresses that, I actually love a lot. So there'll be like areas that you come across, and it's like, oh, you got to have a character that can make things explode like Homer or Gollum. And it's like, put that character on the platform now. Or if you don't own that character, you can spend 50,000 of your Lego pieces, which you're accruing all the time. It's not unreasonable. And you can unlock that character for 30 seconds so you can get into this area and do what you got to do.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, wow, like, why wouldn't you try to rip me off? Like, isn't that the whole purpose of these things? And I was like pleasantly surprised that that was an option in that game.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. That is really cool. All right, gentlemen. End of the show plugs.
Whoa, we lived.
We made it. This is a beefy episode, but it's our first of the new year. You know,
right. Fair enough.
And so we got to kick it off right.
And I don't think we get too many complaints about this. We kind of accidentally skipped a week because I didn't have my mic and a couple other things happened.
Sort of, not really.
We got a few complaints, and I told him it was all David's fault.
Yeah. Now, we released the Christmas episode a week early to make it in time for Christmas. So really, we're still on the original fortnightly schedule.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. So don't you worry your pretty little head about it.
Oh, my head's pretty and little? You think my head's little?
And it's your pretty big head.
Oh.
So help support the show for $0 by signing up for a free audiobook on audibletrial.com/SBFVGS. Recommending Off to Be the Wizard. So check that one out. Or the Martian. Treat yourself to an SBF VGS t-shirt on cafepress.com/SBFVGS. Thank you guys. We keep seeing those orders coming in, and we are very, very wealthy men now. So thank you.
We have like 5 cents now, guys.
Yeah. So keep them coming. Keep them coming. Good times. Check out our latest gaming vidges on the SBF VGS YouTube. That is bit.ly/SBFVGSYT.
Yeah.
Special thanks to our super OG, super best friend, Eric Kruger.
Holler.
For being on the show. Being our PSX correspondent for real this time, and then also for our super awesome podcast logo that he slaved over a hot computer for.
The best logo.
It's true.
Very hot.
It is one of the best podcast logos I've seen in a long time. So if I do say so myself.
If you like the show, help us out by leaving a glowing iTunes review and telling a friend. That's the important stuff out there. Spread the word, you guys. You can follow us all on Twitter. The podcast account is SBFVGS Podcast. I am Barry White, BURYWITE. Mike is Taco Douglas. David is David J. Tate. And Eric is Sibhod, Sinister Icy Black Hand of Death. PSN, we have the same names except for Mike, who is Taco_Douglas. And you can hop on there, join the Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover PS4 community. Friend us on there, play some games. Play games with us and with each other. It'll be a good time. And then, David and I and Eric, I believe, all on the Xbox Live.
We sure are.
I'm Barry White there. David is TTOE.
TTOE.
And Eric, are you on the XBZ?
I actually am on Xbox Live, but I do not have an Xbox One yet. I just forgot to cancel my account, so I've just been racking in those games with gold for
wow.
That's cool. So you get a ton of free games by the time
As soon as I finally get one, I'll have tons of games.
That's awesome.
Millions.
Find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/SBFVGS, or you can follow the blog at sbfvgspodcast.wordpress.com. And that is all the time we have for Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover episode 34. Thank you for listening. We'll be back every 2 weeks with more precognitive talk on gaming.
Wow.
Yes.
Just Hit Mike.
Hit us up on Twitter or Facebook with your questions, topics, or musings if you want to be part of the show. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Yay.
Because I didn't have a TV to play it on, because there's only one HD TV in my parents' house.
Oh, Philistines.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.